Blog Talk Radio.
Yesterday, and today is today, and we got to take each day as a new day from God and thank him for it, because he didn't have to give it to you, but he did. Thanking God again for another day. Shout out to Table of Life Ministry. Hallelujah. Getting closer and closer to that 1 year and that 13-year anniversary. We had a great time on yesterday in celebration of our 13th year anniversary. Pastor Mark from Calvary came and spoke a mighty, mighty word of God. It was awesome. It was just an awesome day. Good food, good fellowship. A wonderful, wonderful day. So shout out to Pastor Jesse and her family that came, her sisters that were with her, and members that love her, and it was just a great, great day. So thanking God for it and thanking God for our pastor. And as we get ready to move forward this morning, we have a great word today. We're going to be coming out of course, Jeremiah this morning, and our title is going to be coming out of 2 Timothy chapter 3 today, and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful word of God, and all I can say is, wow, God is on the throne, God is in charge, and what a word, what a word. But I just wanted to, before we get started, pray for those that are dealing with some stuff. You know, we have a lot of stuff going on in our world right now. Israel and Palestine. It's a lot going on over there. And we, as men and women of God, must pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for God to come in and show what thus says the Lord, not man, but God. So many times we put God into mess that God did not sanction. And we have to pray We have to pray for peace. Pray for peace, not for the adults who start wars, but for the children who are the collateral damage, who are the ones that suffer from it. So, Father God in heaven, we come together today praying for the children of this world, praying, Lord God, for peace. Peace in the Middle East, peace in our world. And, Lord, we ask you to please, please, God, guide this planet in righteousness. Show us the way that you would have us go, God. Not our way, but your way. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, Father, I lift up this word this morning. This mighty word that is a today word. This mighty word that tells us that all scripture is given by your inspiration, God. And that we need to stand on your word, God. That your word is true. Your word is holy. Your word is righteous. Your word will take us through any situation. All we have to do is believe. So, Father God, as I lift your word up, I ask you to please increase as I decrease, Father God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, God, for another day. Thank you, God, for all of you who join us today. Asking God to lead and guide and show us the way. Because I'm just going to be honest. Some of the things that are said in today's scripture are things that some people find offensive. But we got to get over it. Because everything that's said in the word is things that have come to pass. It's a word, a Timothy word this morning, is a word that has come to pass. Whether we like it, whether we don't, it's a true word, and it comes from the word of God. And we got to understand that God's word is true. And what thus says the Lord is true, because it comes from what? His word. And again, the word of God comes from God by inspiration of God. And when you think it that way, it makes a lot of sense, because you see things in the word of God that are coming true to pass in our time. It was true in the time of Jeremiah, but it's true in our time. And so we need to look at it as it is, and we need to pray. Because prayer changes all kind of things. And the word of God that came into the book of Jeremiah, which is where we'll be coming from this morning, Jeremiah chapter 45 and 46, our psalm this morning is the 119th psalm. At verse number 105 to 112, our Proverbs is chapter 28, verse 4, and we will be coming, which is also where our title comes from, is 2 Timothy chapter 3. So let's get into the first bit of the Bible, folks, because this is Bible study. And if you have a different version that you would like to share, please direct message me at Minister B Talk Word on, and I am on Twitter. And you can DM me on Twitter at Minister B Talk Word, and I'll see what we can do. So let's get started. And the word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 45, the word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to God, the son of Mirah, when he had written these words in a book at the instruction of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Berak. You said, woe to me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built I will break down, and what I have planted I will pluck up. That is this old land. And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them, for behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give your life to you as a prize in all places, wherever you go. The 46th of the book of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the nation, against Egypt, concerning the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, and which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, defeated in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, ordered the buckler and shield and draw near to battle. Harness the horses and mount up your horsemen. Stand forth with your helmets. Polish the spears. Put on the armor. Why have I seen them dismayed and turned back? Why have I seen them dismayed and turned back? Their mighty ones are beaten down. They have speedily fled and did not look back. For fear was all around, says the Lord. Do not let the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They will stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Is this coming up like a flood, whose waters move like the rivers? Egypt rises up like a flood, and its waters move like the rivers. And he says, I will go up and cover the earth. I will destroy the city and its inhabitants. Come up, O horses, and rage, O chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans who handle the shield, and the Lydians who handle and then the bow. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself on his adversaries. The sword shall devour, it shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts has a sacrifice. In the north country by the river Euphrates, go up to Gilgal and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain you will use many medicines. You shall not be cured. The nations have heard of your shame, and your cry is filled the land. But the mighty man has stumbled against the mighty. They both have fallen together. The word that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, would come and strike the land of Egypt. And remember, he had told the Israelites, those that would leave and go into Egypt, that they would face the same things that they had faced in Jerusalem, that they would not be safe, because they had asked Jeremiah in a little sneaky snake way, please ask God, what should we do? Even though they had already made up their mind that they were going to Egypt, they asked Jeremiah to confirm it, and when he didn't, they took him and went anyway. After he told them what would happen. And as we go into this word, it says, declare Egypt and proclaim in Megiddo. Proclaim in Noph and Tophim. Say, stand fast and prepare yourself. For the sword devours all around you. Why are your valiant men swept away? They did not stand because the Lord drove them away. He made them fall. Yes, one fell upon another, and they said, arise, let us go back to our own people and to the land of our nativity from the opposing sword. They cried there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He has passed by the appointed time. As I live, says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains and as Carmel by the sea, so he shall come. O you daughter dwelling in Egypt, prepare yourself to go into captivity. The north shall be waste and desolate without inhabitants. Egypt is a very pretty heifer, but destruction comes. It comes from the north. Also, her mercenaries are in her midst like fat bulls, but they also are turned back. They have fled away together. They did not stand, but the day of their calamity had come upon them, the time of their punishment. Her noise shall go like a serpent, for they shall march with an army and come against her with axes, like those who chop wood. They shall cut down her forest, says the Lord, though it cannot be searched, because they are innumerable and more numerous than grasshoppers. The daughter of Egypt shall be ashamed. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, behold, I will bring punishment on Ammon of No, and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods and their kings, Pharaoh and those who trust in him, and I will deliver them into the hand of those who seek their lives, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the hand of the servant of his servants. Afterwards it shall be inhabited as the days of old, says the Lord. But do not fear, O my servant Jacob, and do not be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your offspring from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be at ease. No one shall make him afraid. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord. For I am with you, for I will make a complete end of all the nations to which I have driven you. But I will not make a complete end of you. I will rightly correct you, but I will not leave you wholly unpunished. We better understand, God doesn't give a care who you are, what zip code you live in. God doesn't play. When you do wrong, you will pay the consequences for it. And don't put stuff on God that's not God, because God will tear you up. Don't say, and the Lord said for me to do X, Y, Z, when God didn't have anything to do with it. Didn't have anything to do with what you're doing. But you want to put it on him. God does not make mess, and he is not messy. And if you're doing something that's wrong in the sight of everybody else, and you know in your heart even wrong in the sight of God, but you do it anyway, it's on you. Don't try to put stuff on God. Folks put stuff on God all the time when they know they're doing wrong, but they'll say, well, the Lord told me to do it. No, he didn't. You know, a lot of lying going on God. A whole lot of lying going on God. And believe me, we will all be held accountable if we lie on God. Because there's only one, and he is honest and truthful. And what he says he will do, he will do. And as we go into Jeremiah 45 and 5, it says, I will give your life to you as a prize in all places, wherever you go. As he did with Ebed-Melech. Remember Ebed-Melech? Ebed-Melech was the Ethiopian that saved Jeremiah's life when they was trying their best. They done stuck him in the muck and the mire in a little hole to basically die. And he went and told the king what they had done to Jeremiah. And he told him, you go and you get him out of there. And he did. And it saved Jeremiah's life. And because he saved Jeremiah's life, he got a reward, a prophet's reward for helping a prophet in his time of need. God saved his life. His life was saved because he saved the life of a prophet of God. He saved Jeremiah. God reminds us that I said, do what's right. Do what's right. And he said, but Barak wanted more. And I'm going to go back up to what Dr. Stanley says in his life lesson. As he did with Ebed Melek, God promised to spare the life of Jeremiah's servant Barak wanted more. We must remember that God has a distinct plan for each of us. And our best is always God's best for us. God's best for us. Not ours for ourselves, but God's best for us. God will give you more than you could ever imagine. You know, we ask for little when God wants to give us more. And the word of Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 28, do not fear, for I am with you. If God fills our heart, then fear has no place to make a home there. The storms of life may whistle and howl around us. But when God is with us, we have no reason to fear their threat. Let's get into our psalm this morning. None. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And you hear me talk about staying in our square. That is where that scripture comes from. If your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, a light, your light to square, to stay in your light. The square is your light that keeps you from falling into darkness. And so when I say we need to stay in our square, that is light. That is the path we walk, the path of light. As you go into each square, the square is light. It's like bricks on a lighter path. But the light is the path. And we got to stay on the path of light to God. And it says, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hands, that I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. But they are rejoicing of my heart. They are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Hallelujah. And as we go back to a life lesson from the 119th Psalm, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Left to ourselves, we often don't know which way leads to light and which way ends in death. We remain in the dark, but God's word provides us with a searchlight to cut through the darkness and lead us to safety. And if we stay in our square, that square moves. That square keeps you in light. That square does not allow you to fall in darkness. If you stay in your square, you stay in the ark of safety through the storms of life, through the darkness, through the everything you go through. We all have our moments in time where we wonder, Lord, what do I do? Lord, where do I go? Lord, how do I make it? But God always is there to hold your hand. God is always there to give you light, to give you love, to give you Him. All you have to do is wait on the Lord and know that He said in His word. And we know the word of God is given by inspiration. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know, Pastor Mark talked on that yesterday, that we have got to trust the Lord. And the word of God, it may not be something we like. There's a lot of stuff that I do not particularly care for. But I know that it's inspired by God because it is what happens. God gives a word and it comes to pass. Don't ever believe that it won't. Now understand that the word I'm about to read, this is old, but it's so true today. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. Come on now. But such as keep the law continue with them. How many times have we seen folks doing wrong praise and folks doing right vilified? What? This makes no sense. What have they done wrong? Well, I don't like him. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like him because he's this political party. I don't care that he's doing good for me. I'm still going to vote against him because he's not my political party. He is, but I like his style because he's gangster. So No. We don't vote for right and righteous. Folks vote for wicked and wrong. But how many times did we see the wicked and the wrong make it? We saw it in the Word. When Ishmael and his crew got away after killing Gedaliah, got away. And we're like, wait a minute, hold on, Lord. The wicked are not supposed to win. But this is not a dramatization. This is a word of God. And what happens is, yes, sometimes the wicked get away with their wickedness in the word of God. But understand, they may have gotten away with their wickedness in this world, but they still have to face God in the next, and they won't get away with it. And that's what we have to look at. Sometimes the wicked gets away with their dirt and what they do. But we trust God and we do what's right and we love him. We love God. We trust God. We do what thus says the Lord and watch everything else fall into place. And as we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And when you hear prophets and pastors and teachers and preachers speaking about the last days, when you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, you understand why. We are telling you and speaking that we are living in the last days, that we are in perilous times, because the things that are spoken in this word are things that are happening now in our time, not in those times, which they were in those times too, but they're happening right now, live and in color, in our time. TV shows, books, magazines, everything you can imagine is being shown, is being discussed, is being talked about, is making big bucks. But is it of God? And as we said in our word, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And this is a word that was spoken thousands of years ago. But you would think it was written just a few minutes ago. And the word says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors. Come on now. All I'm saying is January 6th in our own nation. Headstrong, party lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. I'm a card-carrying atheist, and that's what Ron Reagan Jr. said. Isn't that what he said? We better understand this word is a true word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I'm going to read this again so it permeates and percolates in your spirit. Again, understanding this word was written thousands of years ago. But as you read it, you see today. Which is why so many of us tell us we are in the last days. There are perilous times, and they have come. For men are lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. It's all about me. I don't care about you, but it's all about me. I love the uneducated. Proud. They need to get up on their own just like I did. Blasphemers, God didn't do anything for me. I did it myself. Disobedient to parents. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. And we're talking a 5-year-old or 12-year-old. I'm not going to do it. You see it, and folks think it's cute. Disobedient children. Unthankful. Parents give everything they can to their children. And then there are children that are ashamed of their mothers because they were single and raised them. But they educated you. They gave you everything you need. But now that you've risen up in the company or risen up in the world in whatever your skill set may be, that you don't have time for your parents. Unthankful. Unholy. But we all know we are in that season where Satan is on the prowl. Keep your children safe. Folks, unholy. Every time you can't go to the movies without some unholy nonsense being out there. We got to be careful. I'm loving. It's a generation of folks that just don't know how to love because they weren't taught it. Unforgiving. I will never forgive my dad. I will never forgive my mom. You're dead to me. Slander. Folks that will talk about you like a dog. Well, you know, that President Obama, you know, he wasn't born in America. He's Kenyan. Oh, I don't care. I don't think Hawaii is a part of us anyway. Without self-control, my president that I like didn't win the election, so I'm going to try my best to keep it from happening for the one that won because it was stolen. I just know it was stolen. Brutal. I I'm going to hit you with my stick. I'm going to spray acid in you. I'm going to bomb you. I'm going to parachute into an event and take hostages. I'm going to bomb a hospital. The spies look good. Well, I don't care if he goes to church. I don't care because I think churchgoers and those people that love Jesus, I don't like them anyway. I'm a card-carrying atheist. Traitor. We're going to hang the Speaker of the House. Where are you, Nancy? We're going to hang the Vice President of the United States. Headstrong. I don't like you. I'm going to do what I want to do. Haughty. I don't know who they think they are. We don't need to give free lunches. Why should we give free lunches? They need to just go and get some food. I don't know. Excuse me. I'm getting into my cards. I don't want to look at that funny guy. So gross. Love is a pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sorry, can't do that church thing. I got tickets to the game. Can't do that church thing. You know, I went out last night and I'm just too pooped out. Don't want to do all that. You know, I don't take all that hooping and hollering. You know, I really don't care about that message. I'll go for praise and worship, but then I'm leaving because, you know, all that other stuff, you know, I really don't want to hear it. You know, all that scripture stuff, you know, it's not my thing. And then having a form of godliness but denying its power. Well, you know, I pray. You know, when I need something, I get on my knees and I talk to that God. You know, I believe in God, but you know, I just don't believe in all that other stuff. I just don't want to deal with all that. You know, it just makes me feel bad. But I do know God. Yeah, I do. But, you know, and I believe in a higher power, you know, but that, you know, that God of the Bible, he's really kind of mean. You know, think about it. He killed his son, and his son died and bled on the cross. And I'm not sure, but, you know, I love Jesus now. I love God, but, you know, that Jesus thing, I'm not sure I believe that. I think he was just a good man. These are the things that are going on in this world. People are saying this stuff that we think is old news. It are fake news, but it's real, and it's the truth. And the truth is what sets us free, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And yes, we are in the last days, and we need to start preparing. We need to get right with God. And as the word of God continues to say, and from such people turn away. But of the sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Do we see it? Young women, good job taking in some bummy men who will drive their car, pick up other women, be messing around on them, and all they can do is, well, I love him. I don't care. He's my man. No, he's not. He is sinning, and you are too, because you're not married, shacking up with boo-booing them and thinking it's all right. It's not of God. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sit in church every Sunday, but don't have the knowledge of the truth, which is Jesus Christ. This is a harsh message for some, but it's the word of God, and we've got to understand it. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, to do those, these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, this approved concerning the faith, but they will progress no farther, for their folly will be manifest to all of theirs. There's also words. They were liars in the church, had folks all confused, taking the scripture and distorting it for their own gain. And Paul called them out. They were in the time of Moses causing trouble. Just causing trouble. Folks cause trouble within the faith, cause trouble within those that believe and have faith in God. We've got to understand that God is in charge, and he has given us a word, a guidebook. You know, what is the book that kids read in? That the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. This is our guide, this biblical instruction before leaving us. This is our guide to eternal life. This is our guide to living the best life we can live. This is, and that we are loved, that we are cared for, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, who loves us more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever think, who cares about us and wants the best for us. And we are loved. And I want to go back to Janus and Demas. They were the wizards of Pharaoh. I want to make sure I clarify, because I think I had it going in a different direction. But they were the Egyptian priests who excelled in wizardry at the period of the expulsion of the Jews from Egypt. And they were the ones that when Moses turned the Red Sea into blood, they were able to make something like that. The same thing until it got to the point where the plagues was outnumbering their little powers. So they thought they was all that, but they found out you have no power against the Most High God. So I want to make sure I clarify who they were. And it says, so do these also resist the truth? Yeah, they did. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. They could do a few things. Remember when the staff turned into a snake? They turned their staff into a snake. And then what happened? The staff ate theirs up. Come on now. The snake of God ate their little nuclear snake up. You know, they turned the water into blood. Yes, it did. They took the staff, tried, lost, couldn't do everything. When all the big plagues started happening, there wasn't nothing they could do but look like what they were, magicians and wizards. Human beings, you can't compete with God. It says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Paul was talking to Timothy, at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly within Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We wonder why we're going through on a job. Wonder why we're going through in our finances. And you're like, but I know that I saved. And then you find out somebody has hacked into your account. Somebody has used your credit card. Somebody has stolen from you. You find out that is somebody you know that wouldn't have bought a phone using your card, set up TV and cable using your finances. And you're like, oh, my God, it takes forever to get the stuff fixed. But you go through it. Persecution of some sort, going through your valley. And it says, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse. We're seeing it every day, deceiving and being deceived. That's what we see every day, and many times it's played out on our television screen. The real this and that. The this and that in paradise. The him and her here and there doing this and that. You know, we see nasty on the television. We see witchcraft. We see wizards. We see, you name it, it's on television these days. You know, and our children are absorbing it all. We see selfish. We see everything that Paul wrote in the last days we would see. We're seeing it right now. We see deception every day on our television screen. We hear lies and untruth. And then I remember when news became fake. As long as it was telling the truth, it was fake news. But when it was telling a lie, it was right up there as the reality. And then you had people starting to believe that was true, was a fake. So what was actually the fake is the truth. What was a lie became the truth, and the lie, and the truth became the lie. Because somebody said it, everybody did it. I believe it was called alternative fact. A fact is a fact, and there's no alternative to it. We are living in some crazy times where we see evil men and imposters, church leaders falling because they were fake. And God pulling them sheets off. God showing you who it was behind the smiling face telling lies. We got to understand it all is coming to fruition in our time. But you must continue what Paul tells us in the things which you have learned and being assured of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Faith is in Christ Jesus. I say it again. Faith is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may good work. Trusting God, believing in God, knowing that God's word is true. And we have to trust in it. And I see you, 0634, and your line will be open very shortly. And as we go into the word in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Human beings love the trappings of religion. Come on now. Special costumes, mysterious rituals, revered traditions, solemn atmosphere. It soothes and reassures them so long as they can control it, and a sovereign God never insists on his way. Wow, Dr. Stanley was a wise and awesome man of God. In chapter 3, verse 12, all who desire to love godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. This is one of those promises of God that we really rather do without. God tells us this, not to be discouraged, not to discourage us, but to prepare us for the inevitable so that we can shine for him when the time comes. Been through it, but I refuse to let the devil win. I smiled every day. I prayed every day. I trusted God every day because low down is low down, and everybody knows it. And it says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, our title for this morning, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God gave a scripture for a particular reason, our growth in grace. It teaches us the truth about God, corrects us when we're wrong, and explains how to grow so that we can become effective ambassadors for Jesus. And when we keep that in mind, things start to fall in place. And as Sister Carolyn's word for this morning is, when you pray, God listens. When you listen, God speaks. When you believe, God moves on your behalf. Have a motivated money again. God speaks to us through scripture. When we pray, we can go to the word of God, and God will speak to us, because this scripture, all scripture, given by inspiration of God. When you're having a situation, I have found I can go to my Bible and I can say, Lord, you know what I'm going through. Can you show me what to do? And I'm going to tell you, you just open your Bible and a scripture will pop out. And you're like, wow, God. Okay, I get it. He speaks to us. This morning, God woke me up to do something that I needed to do. And I'm like, wow. I heard a voice clear as day, get up. And I did. I'm like, wow, thank you, God. I just had to say thank you because I needed to do what I had to do. So we got to remember God's word is true. 0634, your line is open.
Oh, okay.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Your
Good
line
morning.
Is open.
How are you doing, Pastor Bridget?
I am blessed. How about yourself?
Good. This is Sister Jacqueline.
Good
I finally
morning,
figured
Sister
out
Jacqueline.
How to. Morning. I finally figured out how to access the caller line. Well, I've listened to you this morning, and I can feel your passion for people to get closer to God and closer to his word. And it was a couple of things that came to mind for me. When people who have a longer experience with God and God has moved in their life, and they have overcome such great obstacles, I think they're primed to be not only an example but a witness. And I try myself in this walk is to more so be there as a listening ear to people that's crying out. And, for example, I had a young lady who I call my goddaughter. I haven't talked to her in a while, but she just recently went through a miscarriage. I didn't know the whole backstory, but she was posting it on the Facebook, and a lot of people use social media to reach out to other people because maybe the people in their lives aren't there as support systems. They probably don't have a church home. And they're feeling like in despair. And I think that's a vulnerable time for them. And I think highlighting their faults isn't the time. It's a time and place for everything. And I think sometimes we get on talking about the need to be saved and what the sin was and all that, and we're doing more harm than help. So when you were talking about the scripture and getting close, I firmly believe in that, but a lot of us don't. A lot of people have not had the experience that maybe we had. They're maybe beginning their journey. Maybe they're reaching out, and if they reach out to us, we might be the catalyst of whether, you know, they turn to God or not. Not meaning that we are God or anything, but I just think we need to be careful as servants of God and how we approach a thing with someone. So I listened to her, and she spoke for like 30 minutes crying out. And as she explained her situation, very intelligent young lady, I saw a pattern. And so God spoke to me to just let her know that she had the answer and that she was noticing the pattern. And she kept saying, well, I felt this way, but I wanted to give him a chance, or this happened and you know, I didn't like it, but I stayed with it. Like you were saying, you know, young ladies taking in these guys who aren't ready, don't mean them any good. That was her situation. And I said, well, at each point, every time you mention something that went wrong, you also mention that you had a feeling or an intuition or something. I said, that was God. That was God convicting your spirit. And sometimes, and even with myself, I have to practice not dismissing what's coming to my spirit. Doesn't that make any sense?
It makes plenty of sense, Jacqueline. And that is true. And I believe that, you know, we have the word of God, but those that do not know God, they have intuition. And I like to say they have the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, as I said, you know, we come into this world with nothing. But I believe we all come into the world with the Spirit of God. I do believe that.
We do.
And I know there are many that say, well, you don't. But I believe that even little people, if you look at a baby, you know, and that's, you know, you look at a baby and all of a sudden that baby looks like it's just smiling, and you're like, what are they looking at? What are they seeing that they are just smiling and happy?
When you go back to the word,
when
you go back
to
the word, you align a person of the word. Yeah, you said that as unless we have the spirit of a child, we won't even see God.
Exactly.
Unless, you know, and the kingdom belongs to the children. Why? Because
absolutely,
the children have full trust. They're not questioning. They go by what they see.
Children,
so, it's, like
children,
you said, if we our children.
Well, you know, I was going to say we only have a couple of minutes left, is to say that if you ever see children playing, little children, no corruption, no, he said, she said, parent interference, children of every nationality, even children that may not even be able to understand each other's language, they play together, they laugh, they have a great time. And all the things in our children's minds don't come into effect until parents with their own issues and not just put it in that way. You can't play with them because they don't look like you. You know, kids don't understand and they don't see that. Parents create those confusions because that confusion was created, generational curse. But we have to trust God, and unfortunately our time is running out. But Sister Jacqueline, please call again, and let's have a conversation. But this is Bible study, and that's what we want to do. Go by the word of God, because again, God's word says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And as we wrap up, you know, thank you very much, family. And as Sister Carolyn says, we need to pray. And we need to trust God and know that God's word is true. And when we get in it, we learn many, many things. Keep trusting God. And as we say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a great and blessed day, knowing that you are a child of God and that you are loved by him more than you could ever know. And as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap. Why? Because we're always here and we're always praying for you. And we love you with the love of Jesus. Have a blessed and great day, family. Y'all know the drill. I got to go to work, so I got to let you go. Have a great day. It is a wrap. Thank you again, Sister Jacqueline. Thank you all for calling in, listening in. push that number one sometimes so we can have a conversation. Again, you are all blessed and highly favored by God. And I thank you for tuning in this morning. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It's officially my last and final closing. It's a wrap.